think the best way to put it was that I was my own God. Like, he was my savior.
Wow.
I was my own God. I've walked through some things and have felt firsthand the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. I want that for other people.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Morningstar Bright Lights Podcast. I am Corrine James, your host. Today, our guest is Shelley. She has written a book called Strength and Dignity that's out now. So I am so happy that she's here with us today. And I am so thankful that you have chosen to join us in this conversation.
Thank you, Corrine, for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this since you asked me. I am born and raised right here in Northridge, Massachusetts. I only left town to go to college. I went to University of New Hampshire, and then I lived in New York for a bit, got my master's there on Long Island, then moved back to work here. I'm married. My husband and I just celebrated our 10th year anniversary, and we're a blended family. So we have 6 children blended, 3 grandchildren.
That's great. Where did you go to college, and what was it for?
So I went to University of New Hampshire undergrad for speech therapy, communication disorders, and then I went to Dowling College, which is in Long Island. I went there for special education.
So is that something that you felt like the Lord put on your heart? Did you feel like the Lord was speaking to you to move in that direction?
When I went to UNH, I didn't really know as a senior or a junior. I think so many kids these days don't know. My senior year, did like a child development course in Northridge. You could work at the preschool back then. I met a child there who had seen a speech therapist, and I kind of followed that. And then I thought, wow, I really enjoyed that. Anyways, went to UNH to study communication disorders. But as a speech therapist at Northridge, I always looked forward to sessions with the students there in preschool who had a diagnosis of being on the autism spectrum.
People like you, absolutely amazing. People just have that natural, God-given ability to have patience and understanding. I have a daughter who's struggled with audio processing, and she has she's not autistic, but she has like 5 characteristics of it. And so I just remember honestly falling to my knees one day because the communication was just not hitting, and I could not figure out why she wasn't responding like my other 2 girls. Like, I've already done this twice before. What is happening? So I do find that interesting. And then just going down the stairs, knelt in the middle of my living room and just started praying and crying, like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. And all he kept saying to me was lover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and let me tell you, that brought me back to college. I then decided I wanted to get my master's in special education, kind of with a focus on behavior modification and working with kids with autism. And so when I got back into that field, exactly what you're saying, my heart definitely went out, not just to the students that I was working with, because it was so hard for them to communicate, just as you had said, but also for the families. So I've been in the field, been in the education field for 25 years. As much as I love working directly with the students, learning more and more about kind of their learning style being on the spectrum, I love working with the families. I love working with the parents and siblings. I also do that in addition to working in the school district. I spend time doing what they would refer to as like home programming.
Okay. So you work outside of the school system as well?
I do.
You do? Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I work for the town of Northridge. I'm a teacher in a sub-separate classroom. The students in my classroom are preschoolers. The majority of them are nonverbal. And then I work and do home programming where I go into the homes and work with the kids at home to be successful in their home environment.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I remember when the Lord told me to love her and I started crying, and I was just honest and I said, I don't know how to do that. I just I don't know how to do that. What does that look like? To see her today in our relationship, just by patience and love, it so matters to take that time. You can see the growth. So I really appreciate people like you because it is not a natural fit for me. So I'm just so thankful for the people God has called in that field.
Yeah, I love it so much. And I hope if anyone were to talk about my classroom, and I would believe this to be true, I think it's even been said that it's love first.
Amen.
That they feel safe, that they feel loved, that they know we want them to be there, that makes the big difference.
I believe that, obviously. I mean, that's what the Lord told me. Love is at the basis of all of it, love and patience. You can really see a change in that, but the person on the other end of that has to be willing and opened to be molded and to change as well.
Yeah. You know, my students are just little. For them, I think the most important thing is when they come in or they see me waiting for them, that they know they're coming into a place where they're loved.
I love that. How long have you been a Christian? What has that looked like?
Okay. So I have been a Christian. I'm going to say Christian loosely. I asked Jesus to be my savior when I was 7. It's an interesting story. At that time, I don't know what the churches were thinking. I was just a little girl. But they showed a video, a movie of the end times. And in this movie, those who were left behind that hadn't walked with the Lord before the rapture. So those who walked with the Lord were taken and those who weren't were left behind, but they had an opportunity to then choose Jesus. But it was a lot harder for them because they were under complete persecution. So just keep in mind, I'm 7. In this movie, these two girls had decided, regardless of what came at them through persecution, they were going to stand their ground as followers of Jesus Christ. And they were beheaded. Yep.
Wow.
Beheaded. That was after like they starved and couldn't be consumers and all the things.
That sounds a little traumatic.
A little traumatic.
For a 7-year-old.
A little traumatic. And so when the pastor at the end said, "Who here would like to accept Jesus?" I stood up, and I'm not kidding, on my chair and was like, me, please me. Me. I don't know what that means, except if little Shelly is going to heaven, she's going with her head intact. I mean, I'm not even kidding. They're beheaded like guillotine on the movie. Although I do think the fear of hell is a first step for anybody, right?
It's a real truth.
It's a real truth. I think that that's a legitimate first step. I've talked to a lot of people who are like, what if the only reason I even want to pursue who this Jesus guy is because I'm afraid of hell? I'm like, it's a first step. It's good. Let's talk about
if it gets you thinking about it, if it gets you trying to understand who God is and
what sin is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always say when I talk about that I have found the Lord in a more sincere way since then. I've had a pretty rocky Christian walk for sure. So recently I took a course. I am very into, I mean, there's part of me that thinks I'll even go to seminary. But in the meantime, I get my hands on any good courses, especially if they're Bible-based. So if it's a book-based like Acts or something like, I want to take those courses. I want to, dive deep into books of the Bible. So I'll take those classes that are focused on a book. And I was recently in a class and the professor...
I'm sorry, are you taking these classes at a college or online?
Through my church.
Through your church. Okay. Your church offers these classes.
Yeah. And brings professors in.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it's awesome. Okay. And so I was in a class and the professor was talking about two kinds of Christians. One that grew up in the church and when he spoke about those Christians, he talked about them as if they were ones who followed Jesus in a really good way. Like, oh, you were brought up in the church and went to youth group and kept your purity and all the things that were meant for you as a Christian. And then the other group were the ones who later in life received Christ as their savior and had a big transformation moment, right? They know the date when you ask them. They go, yeah, August 3rd, 1998, I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember sitting there going, where do I fall into this? Because I gave my life to the Lord as a child and grew up in the church, did not walk a holy life as a Christian, nor have I had that transformational date where it was like, okay, I'm leaving my sinful life behind me and going to now follow Jesus, I knew who Jesus was and still was not making really good decisions as a Christian.
We talked a little bit about this on the last podcast.
Okay.
And I think there is a difference because I think everybody's walk is different because you hear all these different stories and it's really just a God story.
Just everybody's journey.
Exactly. The woman I was speaking to had a transformation at 5 and that is what it was. And it's interesting for me because I didn't grow up as a Christian. And I have that time and date, and I have that complete transformation. It was hard because my kids were brought up in the church, and I just assumed at 3.5, 5, and 10, when they decided to say the sinner's prayer and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior and all of that, I just thought they were going to be like me at 19.
I get that. I do. No, I get that because I grew up in the church. I knew Jesus as my Savior. I knew the cost of sin, that he brought that sin to the cross. And I had accepted that, gosh, I needed him. And of course, at different ages, I understood that at a greater level, but I had not yet made him the Lord of my life.
Amen. There is a difference. I think we talked a little bit before about that as Jesus was your Savior, and which is 100% salvation.
Yes.
That's why I believe people who are even brought up in the church, they're saved. They receive Jesus. They are saved. Then it's, like you said, a journey. And now it's growing in the Lord that he becomes Lord over your life.
Right.
And that's a whole another dimension. It's like you wanting to spend time with the Lord. It's you laying things before him. It's acknowledging your faults and really seeing the growth in that. I do believe that the salvation is real at a young age.
Sure.
And then there's the other part, like you're saying, okay, when did he become Lord of my life?
Yeah.
And what does that look like?
Oh, 100%. He has been so patient with me. You know, I have one of those lives that was hard because I look back and it's cringeworthy. That's how I feel about my past. I made decisions, you know, I got pregnant with my daughter before I was married. I've been divorced twice. This is my third marriage. And kind of these areas in my life, almost as if, okay, this is how I'm going to put it, and it's hard to wrap your mind around this. I kind of lived a life that you might say, oh, that was before she was a Christian.
Okay.
But guess what?
It wasn't.
I was a Christian. And I think that, oh gosh, my theology was messy. How I saw Jesus was messy and had some wrong thinking. And I think that it came to the point where I didn't want that anymore.
Can I just ask you a little question?
Sure.
Did you immerse yourself into a church and did you immerse yourself into Bible studies and did you grow? You know, you got saved at 7 through those years or into your teen, adult. Did you make those choices to spend time with God and to seek God and to be around people that were growing and learning at that time? Or was that something you chose later? You knew you had a relationship with Christ, so you just, you know, moved on. But did you have this foundation where you sought him out in the Bible with groups of people
and grew in that way? Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I'm going to say yes to that. I think that the beginning part of my walk with the Lord as a young teenager and as I moved forward for quite a few years, again, was in that state of knowing that he had died for my sins, believing that because I believed that and was grateful in my heart for that, that was my greatest understanding of who he was. You're absolutely right that it was when I got more plugged in to church, to a church community, even though I was raised in the church. I had gone to one church until I went to college for 25 years. And even in college, I sought out going to church because I knew Jesus did mean something to me. I think the best way to put it was that I was my own God. Like he was my Savior.
Wow.
I was my own God.
There it is.
Talk about messy theology. And this is really important. I knew and understood sin. I understood that sin had to be paid for. All of us, regardless, fall short, have sinful nature that has to be paid for. That's the truth. And I knew that paying for sin on my own was required of an eternity in hell. That's how I was going to pay for it. We're all going to pay for our sin in an eternity in hell.
If you're not saved.
Yes.
Okay.
So I knew, of course, So I knew that and believed that Jesus did come. I understood the Bible. I knew Old Testament. I intellectually, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I was just going to say
this. I intellectually knew, because I want to be honest about the plugging into church part. I knew the Bible. I knew. I don't think it was necessarily that I plugged into a church. I think that I realized that I had made myself my own God, and that's what needed to be changed.
That's really powerful.
That was really, because I knew the Bible. I intellectually, I'm even going to be embarrassed to admit that I've taught the Bible. I intellectually knew the Old Testament. I knew the prophecy of the Old Testament. I knew that Jesus fulfilled all of those prophecies. I knew about learning about God's heart and his character in the Old Testament. Knew the Gospels, where I could quote most of, like, I knew them, and I knew in my heart that I was saved because of what Jesus did, but I was my own God. I made decisions that served myself. And I will tell you that even though I have come to realize that, it has been a journey for that part of me to die. It really has. Even knowing that that is kind of what evolved in my relationship with the Lord, having that part of my walk with him die and really surrendering, really saying, your will, not mine. Really saying that whatever the outcome of this is, I'm going to trust you. Let me tell you something. What comes along with you being your own God, when things don't go the way that you think that they're supposed to, you're mad. I lived a lot of my life angry. I lived a lot of my life like, where are you, God? You're supposed to be this good God, and I tell other people that you're a good father, and like I felt like I was doing the work of the Lord. Where's my repayment? And
so it really, just hearing you, you can hear the self.
Self.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I did this for you. But I stayed in a pretty abusive relationship for a long time because I felt like I was doing the work of the Lord by staying. I'm going to stay committed to this. And I had already been divorced once. I wrote about this in my book. A couple things were happening. I was like, gosh, I've been divorced once. I'm not going to again. So I will say some of it was that, right? Mm-hmm. My pride. I've got to show the world that I'm gritty and doing the work of the Lord. And then the other part about that got dangerous was because I felt that I was doing that, I was mad at him for not healing my marriage. My theology got so messy about all things. It wasn't right. I wasn't living surrendered to the fact that God is God and I'm not. Walking through that to get to the other side was really difficult.
I think marriage in itself is tough. We just celebrated 29 years.
So wonderful.
It is, but it's hard. And I know there are times I remember saying to God, I don't even know why I married him. This is ridiculous. Like, what are we doing here? What's going on? And I remember the Lord saying to me, if you left, you're going to feel the same way about somebody else in 7 or 8 years. And it just was like, I don't want to say a gut punch, but it was just the Holy Spirit diving deep with in me. And then the humility of, you think you're perfect? You think he's not thinking of that sometimes about you? Like, what did I do? Right? Because we're human. Because
so
we're human.
Yeah.
There are things that we go through. I would probably say maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I remember praying and saying, Lord, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
Like, my husband's a good guy, but there's this thing. What is it? I can't get my mind around. I can't get my hands on it. What is happening? Really having those discussions with the Lord. Show me what this is. And he did.
Yeah, I love
it. He showed it in a time that I could bring it forth without any pride or arrogance, pointing the finger. And he brought it out at a time that my husband, thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, that was God.
Goosebumps, like, that's the Lord.
That was the Lord.
Right?
Because in our humanness, it doesn't go that way.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. And the other thing that the Lord had showed me was when I felt like we were supposed to sit down and listen to something together. It was a podcast. In that moment, the Lord just gave it to me. And I just felt this peace. And I looked at my husband and said, I know you love me.
Yeah.
And I know that you don't do this to hurt me. But I believe this is a spiritual battle. And it's maybe a generational curse that's been passed down. That was huge because it took the pressure off him, took the pressure off of me. We know that we're reunited. We know that we love each other. And this is just something we're going to battle together, not against each other. This is like 24 years into our marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's miraculous. Those kind of conversations, that kind of humility with each other, that kind of we're on the same team type of stuff is so Holy Spirit, so God.
But it also took 23, 24 years.
Well, I've never made it that long with any of my marriages yet, so we'll see when we get there.
But you know what I mean? It was like—
I completely understand.
You know, I think for me to think to myself— and again, it wasn't an abusive marriage, like a, you know what I mean?
I completely understand that.
You know, complete difference to separate that because, you know, there are biblical reasons.
Of course.
So I'm not going there. It's not that kind of a marriage where it's abusive. You can get through that 7-8 years. We would have missed out on this.
Yeah, right? Isn't that so good?
Right?
Yeah.
We would, like, I think about that. I would have missed this.
Yeah, so good. But also so good that you got quiet with the Lord and got quiet with him and said, okay, isn't that what we want people to know? Ask your hard questions mm-hmm. with God. You know, talk to him in conversation. I love that you were like, okay, Lord, something's happening.
Yeah.
Like, why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. What's going on in our marriage? Show me. And he did.
And the interesting thing is, I started out with me. Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I not saying it right? Am I not doing it right? Which way can I do it better? I did all that. No, I can't Listen. Say I. It was God because I was just, what is happening here? What do I need to change? What do I need to do?
Girl, you're in a good place. You're in a good place because how often is that how we start the conversation? More often it's like, listen, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to change the man because this is where I'm at. So I love that you were like, okay, Lord. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. We are supposed to ask the Holy Spirit to dig deep with us, you know, show us.
I also think it has mm-hmm. to do with your upbringing. Because if whatever happened in a godly sense, in a human sense,
Any
in
sense?
A worldly sense, mm-hmm. what happened in your past was your mechanism to fight or to flee. Mm-hmm. That is going to be something. For me, it was just put on me. It's always your fault. You're always a screw up. You're always Yikes. Mess up. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was easy for me to look in. So
you may not have been all that healthy.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So when you say, oh, good for you, I'm like, yeah, so much. It's because God had to bring me to the point that he was like, worked it all through and said, okay, you're good and your husband loves you.
Mm.
Let's stop praying for him. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. but it matters where you come from. And
I
if you
that.
Come from that fight,
yeah.
well, then God's going to have to work on that.
Yeah, I'm a little spicy. I'm a little spicy.
Let's just dive into the book. Do you want to talk about
yeah.
your first book? It's Strength and Dignity, correct?
It is.
And did you write that? Was it 2017, 2018?
Gosh, yeah. Can you even yeah. believe it's been yeah. that long? By this time, I thought, oh, I would definitely have the second book out and be following my dreams of doing speaking engagements because that's really my heart.
Nice.
Is to get up there and probably women's ministry and kind of speak into the lives of women. And here we are. And no new book. The first book. Yeah. Do you want me to talk about?
Yeah. I'd like to know the whole process of it. Did God call you to write a book? How did that all happen?
Interesting enough, I'm just going to give you this little background because I think it's important. When I married Northbridge's Whitensville's town mayor. His name is Tom Young, and he's not really the mayor, but he knows everybody. Everybody knows Tom Young. I'm born and raised this town as well, but certainly did not have that kind of recognition. I would stop going to Walmart with him because everybody wanted to talk to him. He'd see all these people
wow.
that he knew. And I looked like the, you know, witchy wife who was like, let's go. So like I stopped going for a period of time. And one of the things that really got to me was that he'd come home and be like, oh, I ran into so-and-so in the bank and we were talking about this. And I was like, you shared your private life with that person? I'd be like, don't tell them about. There was something very closed up about me. Maybe it's just that this was my town. I grew up here. I graduated here. I don't want people to know anything, right? Fast forward.
God had other plans.
Oh, you think? I mean, you follow me on Facebook and you know what I've had for dinner. I mean, not even kidding. Like, you know some personal stuff about me. So it was August 2017. I really felt the Lord wanted me to start writing. Now, I've lived through some stuff. I have lived through, gosh, my father was an alcoholic. We grew up poor in Northridge. I had Haley as a single mom and my marriages and, you know, my second marriage had some complications. I was like, you want me to do what? I hide those things. There's shame attached to so much of my story. And you want me to put it out there? I'm not a writer. I probably didn't pass like freshman English. Mrs. Meridian, like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't have that skill. Thought, okay, this will be an area in my life. I'm starting this walk of wanting to trust God as God, to have a plan for my life.
That's a big one, to start trusting him with
a book. Let's go with a book. But I did. And if I felt like he was calling me to start writing, I would have to completely rely on him for that. So didn't he call something out of me that he was like, yeah, you're not going to be your own God here. So I started a blog. I had no clue. I think I like YouTubed. How do you start a blog? You Google it. You know, these different things come up about getting a domain. If anyone has ever read my blog, it was not fancy. It was typed script. Title, typed script. Like, I didn't have pictures. I get made fun of because I still have like a 2005 Android. I got my blog out there. I really fell in love with it. And I fell in love with being transparent.
So are you saying that God called you to write a blog before the book?
Oh, 100%. Just to start writing. Yeah, the book was never even, when I was writing a blog, it wasn't like, oh, this is going to be a book. It was just to be obedient. And I feel like sometimes that when God calls you to do something or leads you, it's just taking the first step.
Exactly.
And so I took the first step of this blog. Probably three people read it. My mom. I don't even know if my husband read it. People I would say like, hey, could you please read this? Did not have like this big following, but I enjoyed it. It's funny. I think someone said it and it just latched on to me. Journal writing is for when you're healing. A book is for when you're healed.
Amen. 100%. Because the start of my book was the journaling that I had done my entire life.
Yes.
When God called me to write a book, I remember saying to him, what am I going to write about? You know, I thought that that's such a crazy thing. And I didn't listen to him the first couple times. But I was in a church in women's ministry and I knew it wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I remember going to my husband and my husband said, did you pray about it? I've said this before. When the Lord speaks to you, it's safer in your head. It's hard to put it out there because then it's a commitment. And that's why the Bible always talks about speak it out. Yeah. And that's why, because you could stay in your mind forever and Satan could toil with that.
Yeah, no,
you're not
are
good
so
enough.
Powerful.
Yeah. But once you put it out there, I said, I think I'm supposed to write a book. He turned around and said to me, then write it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Journal writing is for your healing process, but that book, it's for when you're healed, right? Now you're going to share. Now you're going to put out what has come from your healing.
That's exactly it. During the writing process, because I had journaled all of that time, it was like on the outside looking in. This isn't me anymore.
Agreed. Yes.
Like, praise God. It's like God takes you through this so you can share your story in the healing that came through it.
Amen. In my book, you could pick it up and go to any chapter. Kind of my whole thought process was, it's not chronological. It's not my story. You could pick up any chapter and read that chapter. You didn't need to read the one previous to it. I would hope at the end, you would feel like you kind of just sat down with me for a cup of coffee. But I wanted people to know my humor. I wanted them to kind of get a sense of who I was in different areas. So sometimes I tell a story through a Bible story. You know, I talk about Joseph and his grit in his life and his commitment to being obedient to God through everything he went through. And the next chapter might be about the Christmas I had when I was younger, when my family really struggled with poverty. The blog writing, just as you had said, was part of the healing process. And then when it all came together, when I would read it, I would be like, gosh, that's so true. I did live through all of that, and that was my perspective. But look at where God has brought me. Kept on blogging, kept on putting it out there. Like, my mom was probably my greatest fan. She said to me, why don't you take everything that you've written, put it together, and make it a manuscript? I did not do that for a very long time. And then finally, I was like, okay, now you always need your biggest cheerleader. I think she had even looked into literary agents, found one for me.
Funny.
It's so funny. And I just called her. She said, okay, this is what we're going to do. She wanted to work with me. She said, here are some places you're going to send your manuscript. And the crazy thing about that, it was done. I mean, I had it ready just to send off. The first place that I sent it to was Christian Faith Publishing. I'll never forget. She called me. It was the end of a school day. I mean, I feel like I sent it out. And the next week she called and said, you know, Christian Faith wants to publish your book. And I think I was so surprised because she said to me, gosh, people are usually more excited when I deliver this news. And I was like, I just just don't know if I understand. Like, somebody really is going to put this together. Mm. And then you know, it starts the whole process, the editing, from the font to having people write the summary and the cover and all of that. And then by the time it came out, and I don't know if this has been your experience, and I want to talk about why the second book is so hard. It was years.
You're talking about your first book.
Yes.
Yeah.
When it finally came out, when it got released on Christmas, it was 18 months later. So now I get asked a lot of questions about when's the second book coming or how is that going. This is what's hard for me. When I have something that I want to share, I don't want to put it in a book for someone to read 2 years down the road. If I have something that the Lord has healed me in or showed me or given me insight about that I think that I can speak that into somebody else's life, it's so hard for me to write that and think I'm tucking this away so that it can come out later that somebody may or may not read it. I don't know, something I'm working through the Lord with. I loved the process of the book. I love that I have a book. It's more now, God, how can I serve you and serve kind of the gifts that you've given me and all these things you've taught me differently? I would love to do public speaking. Mm-hmm. I would love to meet with women who I could encourage in different areas of their mm-hmm. life, because I've had to, or not had to, that always feels like that it was done to me because of decisions that I made, because of life choices and things. I've walked through some things and have felt firsthand the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. I want that for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say, yeah, hey, listen, I don't even know where to place myself in the Christian category because I wasn't saved and repented and lived a holy life. Of course, none of us completely live a holy life, but I lived a life where nobody would have said, hey, that girl's a Christian. They just wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. I think even now, I look back and say, was I even a Christian? Who was I serving? Back then, I was serving myself.
Again, like mm-hmm. we discussed earlier, is the Savior to Lord.
Savior to Lord. And so that was my working title of my second book. So my working title for my second book was From Savior to Lord. And I think that you did a great job while we were talking of saying salvation, that's everything. So I would never want to undermine the importance of that. But I do want to talk about how different my life has been, my thinking, the fruit that is produced by my walk with the Lord. My ability to love people differently is so much different now that it's not just that walk. I am no longer my own God. Jesus Christ is my Lord over all areas of my life. When I feel that conviction that he's not, I can reset myself and say, okay, Lord, I need to bring this under your lordship. Everything from my job to my marriage to how I'm parenting, my friendships, everything about my life, I want God's will, not my own. And that was the journey. So yes, that was the working title, just and it would be stories about the difference. What I find is the more that God reveals to me about everything from my life of depression, the choices I've made, everything, I don't know that I want to wait to get that out. I want to tell people now that your life still has so much meaning, no matter what you're doing and the decisions you've made, what you're walking through. Your life has so much meaning. All it takes, that transformational power of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to wait, right? Like, I keep on writing things. And, you know, sometimes if you follow me on Facebook, I put things out, my mother will be like, that was book worthy. And I said, I get that. Like, I get, and I love that you feel that way. Like, let's tuck that away for a book. But I want someone today to read maybe what the Lord put on my heart, showing me something about my own life. I want them to read it today. I want them to feel that today.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it has to be either or.
Right.
I really don't. You know, just listening to your heart is like mine. Yeah. And actually, a lot of people that I talk to, we want to be one with other women. Mm-hmm. We want to come alongside, which is so huge for women to say, let's get behind each other.
Oh, yeah.
Let's support each other. Let's raise each other up in the Lord. Really give the support. Let's share our stories. Anybody walking through that will know that there's hope and healing at the end. But why can't you do both?
Right. Like, get it out there now. Talk about it now. Ask the Lord for opportunity to put me in front of the right person who might need to hear something that he's helped me with. That's it for me. My understanding that God is about relationships and understanding that better, that that's what he wants for us here too. I want that. I want to help set people free in Jesus because I've been set free.
Amen.
And I've had a lot of chains. I have had a lot of things that I needed to be set free, mostly myself. I want to give that freedom or that understanding to other people as much as possible. as quickly as possible.
Amen.
So maybe both.
But you know what? It sounds like it's in the process.
It is.
And just praying and trusting God and just keep looking his direction, because he's just going to open those doors in the right timing.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course he will. Of course he will. Another question that I had, what would you say would be the hardest part of that?
Oh, absolutely. The hardest part is making sure not to tell somebody else's story. I'm even struggling through this podcast because the collateral damage of what has happened over the years is my story. The pieces of what happened, why somebody, what somebody did, that's their story. And I found that really hard and I would say, Lord, give me the words to be able to portray what I've walked through, what my family has walked through, without shaming or telling somebody else's story. And that is very difficult. I shared a lot about my father. There were limits of what I would share because his story, I shared parts about that second marriage. And I think now, because my ex-husband and I are friends, there's a lot of healing and a lot of forgiveness. Both sides, right? Mm-hmm. That might be an easier story to tell. I would love to tell the whole story. I would love to tell details. I would love to dig deep because I want someone to read it and be like, oh yeah, I've had the police called on us for domestic things. These stories take a very careful way to do it. And that was really difficult with my blogging. It's difficult when I share now.
I think it's very difficult for memoirs.
Oh yeah.
Because that's exactly what it is. And I remember going through that myself at the beginning, just writing. But when the edits were done, and let me tell you, the reason it took so much longer was because of the amount of edits. Because every time I read it, I'm like, I need to change that.
Yes.
I got to change that. And just trying not to name names and trying to be so careful. And in the end, I remember being like, Lord, it's not about anything but healing. What you did through it. The Lord just gave me peace. And I remember asking him and a friend to pray together on what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's like, no, you need to have a conversation or two.
Yeah.
It literally got to the place where it was like, please don't read it if you're not ready. God has brought us through so much and we've come so far in 40, 45 years. We are so close now. If you feel like Satan is going to have a foothold in that and bring us back 45 years, please don't read it.
Right.
The heart is to say, look at what the Lord did.
Yeah.
Look at where we are.
So similar. Like, we're so similar that's what our heart is for the message of our books, is that it wasn't about kind of the gritty details of what happened. The only thing that I feel about that in wanting to put some of it out there, I want it to be relational.
Yes.
So you can't tell what God did, the miracles, the healing, the forgiveness, the way he held our hand through the darkest hours, through all of that stuff. If you don't tell why you were in the darkness, why were you laying on the bathroom floor? Why did you have suicidal ideation? Why did your children suffer? If you don't tell that, and someone can be like, oh, wait, that's where I am right now. Mm-hmm. I'm living that. I lived that. Mm-hmm. You don't get the whole, I could say, I had a rough go, but God was faithful. Well, guess what? Like, what does that even mean? So it was this dance of what to put out there and what you wanted to protect the other players in that story.
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge. And I understand that. And that was, like I said, really big prayer for me and the conversations as well. And then being in the place that you respect that other person enough to say, don't read it.
Yep.
And not having that selfish thing like, well, you should or should. None of that. I don't have any of that anymore. It's true healing through Jesus. If you notice, I really believe that God is just calling a lot of us just to honesty.
It's the movement.
That shows the reality of who God is, that he goes into those trenches with us.
Amen.
Like, he's there in that worst moment, bringing awareness of who he is along the way.
That's right.
If people are living in those trenches right now, what good is it to say, God took me out and I'm doing great?
Yep.
And they're looking at you like, but mine's worse.
Yeah. That was the greatest call on my life, was transparency. Mm-hmm. And remember, I was that girl who was like, don't you dare tell anything to people you run into at the bank. We would argue. I was like, oh my gosh, that feels terrible. I'm about, nobody know me. Here the Lord was like, yeah, I'm going to use your story. and you are going to tell it.
You're like, thanks, Lord.
Yeah.
But freedom.
Oh, so much freedom. Are you kidding me? Now it's too free. Right. Now it's, you know, my siblings, hey, you meant to say that on Facebook? Could you reread that post? Or people on in the comments like, TMI. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here for it. That's exactly who I am now. When people say, gosh, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, that's people's highlight reel. And I believe that. I believe that we shouldn't go on and be like, oh my gosh, why aren't I living my best life like them? Because a lot of it is somebody's highlight reel. That is not what I want. You go on to mine and you know I haven't gotten out of bed. You know that I'm struggling. And that also feels like, let's not air our dirty laundry on social media. So that's a dance too. I think social media is such a good tool because I instantly can put out there like, hey, if you're feeling this way or if this is where you are, let's talk about that, or sharing bits and pieces of who the Lord has been for me. And guess what? Who I haven't thought he's been for me. Like, I am so honest about my relationship with the Lord. I think sometimes I'm going to go to heaven and he's going to be like, you were a lot. Like, girl, you were a lot, but I would rather go and have him say that. You put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. That's where I live now. Like, yeah. I want to put myself out there. I want people to be like, me too.
As long as it's bringing the hope back yes. to the Lord, he's in it.
Great point.
Because I feel like we can go the other way.
Great point.
Where you're just putting your stuff out yep. all the time and making it like it's funny, but not bringing it like, no, God's going to bring me through
I
to glory
that so
on that.
Much. I love that so much. That's the first time I've actually thought of it that way. And that helps me a lot because, right, I don't want to be the one like, woe is me again. And you know what? When I read that, I always think, I'm just going to pray for that person. I'm glad they're putting it out there. Sometimes people won't give full detail. And I'm like, okay, I know that. So Lord, help that person feel loved. Or whatever it is they're talking about that we don't understand, you do. Meet them there. And so I even like it for that reason.
Yeah, I think that it can sometimes go on a little further on the other end where so much of the world is wearing their sin or their struggles as a badge.
Good point.
Instead of
the need for repentance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is humility and sharing, which is great, but you have to have that where you're sharing it with the Lord personally and allowing him to change you to become all that he's created you to be.
That's right.
To not stay there. You understand what I'm saying?
100%. Because he's not going to leave you in the muck and mire.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to leave you there. Yes, if the sharing is without the motivation of letting others know, one, he met me here and he is walking me out of this for better things, or he already has and let me show you how.
Yes.
Let me show you how he did that.
Yes.
Or tell you how he did that. He doesn't want you to stay here either.
It's like the Lord is glorified.
Amen.
In and through it. I'm not staying here because even though this is how I'm feeling right now, I'm going to share how God's changed that and the scripture he's given me to give me encouragement.
Love it.
To get up and move on. So I think it's a balance. And I think in our humanity, we can go too far one way
yeah.
in pride and too far another way in pride.
Yeah.
Because it can be pride in
both
the humility
ways.
As well.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through your writings and your book, is there any stories that you can share where somebody's really come to you and just been like, thank you for that?
Yeah. When the book first went out, that was my favorite part. People would reach out to me privately on social media, or if they knew how to get in touch with me. That was my favorite part, mm-hmm. was that they would extract things from the book that spoke to them. I would say the thing that I hear most often is when I share the truth about my battle with depression. That's the most relatable. We're years removed from my book. People like the realness of that. And that's really scary for me to put out there because I think that there's a stigma. And I even hate this. Like, my mother and I are like, oh, we have to come up with a different idea, like mental illness, and a different idea of how to put that out there. I feel like through anything I said through the book, my blogs, speaking engagements, when I am transparent about the depression and not just a sadness, but the true depression that sometimes plagues me, that gets the most thank you for your transparency. Mm. Thank you for your honesty. Because I think it's really easy to judge that somebody has their life together or that somebody is kind of winning in different areas in their life. And then there's this exhale when you realize, oh, we're all in some area struggling. And so I would say that for me is the feedback that I get. Thanks for being real.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world is after that.
We just want to be real.
But people are craving it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's the movement. You see it. People are so desperate for truth. And then I go, oh, okay, they're desperate for truth. They're searching. Younger generations, they're searching for truth because they've had it with the rest of this. And then in walks Jesus.
Amen.
In walks Jesus because he's the truth. Just the realness, no matter what it brings, and it can feel really vulnerable.
So can you share with us some books or authors or anything like that you could recommend that would encourage others?
I right now am kind of in this place of podcasts. Like when you invited me to come on, I'm like, oh, I love podcasts. I love them. I mean, I get up an hour early every day and I love books. I've read a million, and something that happens to me is that once I feel like I've gotten from the book the point of what the author is trying to tell, I'm done.
Close the book.
I close it. For me, the way I learn, we all learn so differently. Mm-hmm. It must be that I love to listen. So I have found I get up, I spend an hour every morning with my favorite podcasts. And right now I am loving Annie F. Downs. She is doing what you're doing. She brings on people who serve the Lord or are walking in their calling of musicians, authors, people who do speaking. She wants to get to know them better, but also wants to hear their story. I love it because it's something different all the time. Somebody may talk about something they've walked through. And what I'm finding that my favorite podcasts are the ones that I have to pause. Like I'm listening and I'm like, pause. Okay, Lord, that's me. I need to repent of that. What they're talking about, like any podcast that I think makes you want to dive deeper into your relationship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit's kind of used that podcast to show you this is an area in your life that needs this. So I've been listening to her a lot because she's bringing people on who are real life, just real life. This is what I've walked through. And recently, what I realized was that sometimes when you have kids, the Lord will show you these moments and give you clarity about what's happening in your relationship with him. A woman was telling a story about how she had kept on reminding her son of something, almost relating that, like, we have the Bible. The Bible is this clear handbook about things that the Lord puts into place for our safety, things that he asks of us for our safety. For instance, how to treat one another. And then we get to have the benefits of having relationships that flourish. That's all throughout the Bible, right? He gives us examples about how we're to live our life for our safety. I can remember being a teenager and being like saying to my mom, I've always been, you know, had a rebellious spirit, and saying to my mom, like, oh my gosh, it's all rules. And she'd say, yeah, rules that'll keep you safe.
Mm-hmm. It's out of love.
Out of love. He's a good father. It's love. Like he's keeping you within these boundaries. You know, if, you know, I'm having sex outside of marriage, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. What does the Bible even say about that? And she'd be like, yeah, he has a plan for your life about that, you know, purity. And there's reason. So you're not bringing that emotional baggage into your marriage, all these things she'd say, but that's for your benefit, right? Mm-hmm. That's for your benefit. So you get to have that just with your husband and things. And I was really like, oh brother, again, back to me saying I was a Christian and I was saying, oh brother, to this, like I was a mess. Oh Lord, I don't know why you've been so patient with me. She gave this example about how she put these guidelines in place for her son and kept on reminding him, okay, you've got to get this done and this is the right way to do this. Then when things fell apart because he didn't do it, he said, oh, thanks a lot, Mom. Like it was her fault that things had fallen apart. That's what I was doing. I was 100% how I lived my life.
I got it.
Does that make sense?
Yes. You're living your life the way you want to live it. And then you're like, Lord, why are you not blessing me?
Why did you let that happen?
Yeah.
Why didn't you protect me there? Right?
Because you ran across the street. That's why. Because I'm standing here and you said, I'm going to go over here, see you later. And God's standing there waiting like, okay, well, I'll be here when you're done.
Yep.
Because you're going to need me.
Because you're going to need me. And that was my life over and over again. I didn't see the rules or the guiding. We make our plans. He guides our steps. I didn't see the boundaries, which by the way, are placed nicely. He gives us what we need. And I didn't see that as love.
You saw it as hard-handed.
Yep. And waiting for me to mess up so that he could be like, lightning bolt. So instead, I was rebellious. I lived a life according to Shelley, according to what felt good. And then when my life blew up, and it has blown up, I was like, do you even love me? I mean, I've had some big tantrums. I don't feel that way anymore. And that is that heart transplant that we read about. You know, my heart is stone. Do I still get disappointed? Yes. But I want to be that girl who's so confident in God's plans that when things don't go my way, I just go, oh, that's because it's, you know, God's doing something else. And you live a lot more peaceful that way, because I've spent a lot of my life angry.
And getting to the point of acknowledging your part in it.
Oh, 100%.
You know? And that humility is just such a breakthrough to just be like, you know what? That was me. I stepped out.
Yeah. Over and over and over again. Like, that wasn't just one time in my life. This was me continually.
Well, it's just like the wayward son that walked away, took everything and left. And the father's like, okay, here you go.
Yep.
Here you go if that's what you want to do. But what was he doing? Just waiting for you to come back. And then, he's running over to you.
Yeah. And he came back, was like, okay, I'm going to come back because even being a servant there is going to be a better life than what I'm living. And the father received him. And I know that God receives me every time I come back. But before I come back, I'm blaming him for the things that I did, because, gosh, think about that. So messy. Back to your question about kind of things that are making a difference in my life right now. I have found right now in my life what's making a difference are scripture-based people who are walking with the Lord podcasts, because I put that on pause. When she shared that story, I was like,
receiving that, the Holy Spirit, just speaking to you.
Receiving it and being like, oh my gosh, like, yes, God will meet us there. Sometimes I like just sermons. So I recommend Tim Kelleher. I really enjoy his sermons. If I am looking for like a spunky 20-minute, you've got this girl in the Lord, get up type of thing, I listen to Christine Kane. She's Australian and she is all about crazy faith. And so if I need a quick like, hey, here's the reminders that God's got this abundant life for you, don't give up on your dreams. That's who I like her a lot.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing all that. One more thing. I didn't know if you had a scripture or anything that you wanted to share.
Gosh, well, for me, create in me a clean heart, for sure. Renew a right spirit in me. You can kind of see that's been one that I have desperately needed. And also, because of the generational kind of curses of challenges with mental health, I have really pleaded and received that the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And I have claimed that, like claimed that over my children, claimed it over myself. I kind of walk in that when I feel like I have a lot of wrong thinking or confusion in general. Remind myself, I'm not created this way. He didn't create us with anxiety or depression. Right. He created you with sound mind.
And to have faith enough to know that the Lord can completely heal you of it.
That's right. I've seen it done.
Absolutely. Yep. Shelly, would you want to lead us all in prayer?
Yeah, I would love to.
And I will pop into that. But I just want to thank you so
much. Oh my gosh, thank you.
For sharing your story, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Well, I was thinking, we've got some other things like to touch upon, you know, some of the marriage stuff.
Absolutely. And I believe that that's the stuff that's going to come out, because I know the Lord put all those specific things in my heart. So yeah, I'll definitely open it up again.
I would love.
And even so fun. The listeners too, if you feel like the Lord is putting something on your heart to share, reach out.
I mean,
we can get together, and this is what the Lord put on my heart. This is a community podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a community podcast.
So important.
Mm-hmm. We all have a story. And I really believe there was a time, gosh, maybe it was back in the 80s, testimonies were so huge. I don't know if you remember that. You're a little younger than me. It was really big. And then we got away from it. And I really feel like the Lord is starting to bring that back. So let's start and open up again. And let's start sharing our stories. Just wanted to put that invitation out. Is anybody listening to this podcast? It's like the Lord has a fire inside of me that he's taken me from and to, and I need to share that. I just want to encourage anybody that feels led, reach out. We'll have a conversation and we'll see where God leads it.
Oh, I love that.
So Shelly, start us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for this opportunity. And Lord, for the listeners who question their own faith story, their walk with you, even who you are, Lord, I just pray that you would meet them in a way that touches them, just like you did for me, Lord. Gosh, just had so many questions along the way. I had made my life messy. You never turned away from me. When I had areas that I needed you to speak directly into, you were so faithful. So for the listener who's needing that so desperately today, I pray that you are quick to respond to them and to give them that light. I just pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, I just want to again come in agreement with Shelly and for everybody listening right now. Our God is a God of hope and healing.
Amen.
And Father God, I just want to speak speak truth, love, and forgiveness in Jesus' name over everybody right now. I just pray that you begin to touch people right where they need a touch from you, Father God, that healing and love, that your Holy Spirit will just surround every one of us where there is anxiety and fear and depression. I just pray right now by your Spirit that healing comes by your power in the name of Jesus. I just pray right now, Lord, that your Spirit just protect and love each and every one of us, Lord, to know that you are our healer, you are our counselor, that you are our Father, you're our friend, that we can turn to you with everything and you're there to listen. If we're angry, we can cry out to you. If we're sad, we can cry out to you. If we're happy, we can rejoice in you, that you are always there, ready and willing to welcome us home. I want to thank our listeners for joining the conversation today. Praying the Lord spoke to each and every one of you and believing we can move forward together and shine as bright lights in our communities. For more information about today's guest, please be sure to go to the episode show notes. If you found this podcast engaging and encouraging, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow together as we share our experiences and insights for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is shining the light of Christ and feels led to share what the Lord is doing and has done in and through your life, we would love to hear about it. Please go to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com and leave us a message. Visit our Morningstar Bookstore locations and discover our wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts. Also visit our website at morningstarbookstore.com for more selections and direct-to-home shipping. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thanks for joining the conversation.